Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Center of the Universe. Well, I had my alarm clock, and I thought it was getting close to 11 o'clock and didn't realize it was past 11 o'clock. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those hard-working Americans that actually work, and, man, I felt like I was hit by a bus today. All right, anyway, what a great show last night. We're excited to have Dr. Steve Johnston on reoccurring next week. We went to his website, which is posted on our Facebook page. You'll be able to see what topics he can talk about. Bring us got any medicine related questions. I think it'll be fantastic, and we'll be able to help out a lot of people. So anyway, if you got anything, I'm waiting for Blue Shift to call in. He called and reminded me that we had a show and to wake up. So he tried to get the God Man to wake up, and tonight he had to get Mufon Ron to wake up. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that fall weather kicking in a little bit, or the feeling that it's fall. But I sure was enjoying that nap. But anyway, we got things to discuss. I'm sure you got things on your mind. The call-in number is 347-637-1980. Blue Shift tonight is going to be calling. Of course he's going to be calling him, but he's going to be doing a follow-up to his show from two nights ago. And we weren't quite sure at the time if Dr. Steve was going to join us each week. And by God, he's going to. It's wonderful. So we bumped Mr. Blue Shift back to follow up his story to make room for Dr. Steve, who will be on the show live every Monday night at 9 o'clock. Of course, we're usually on at 11, but we've made some special adjustments for Dr. Steve so he can talk to all you ailing folks from over the weekend for cure-alls and also information about prevention and helping everybody with all that bad stuff going on with us in our bodies that we want to get rid of. What else is going on? Waiting for Mr. Blue Shift to call in. Wow, it was a good nap. Of course, you can also email in questions to centerofteuniverse2013@outlook.com. That's centerofteuniverse2013@outlook.com. Been talking to the folks with the Center of the Universe Festival. Had that big music festival once a year, and we've talked to them, and they'll be on the show, and I think next month, but we'll have them on once every 3 months so they can inform us of all the new bands and plans for next year's festival. There's also a Center of the Universe pageant going on, intertwined with our theme of Center of the Universe. I think it's October 8th. They have a webpage also. The Center of the Universe pageant. Of course, there's a Center of the Universe festival page. So, all right. Let's see if there's anybody in the chat room. Anybody seen any strange things in the skies? Remember, we'd like to hear about them, so would MUFON. Go to MUFON.com. Get all your information together. Sightings are up this past month, more than they've ever seen in the skies. remember that there's that reward out there. The $100,000 minimum, which I'm sure you can get a lot more money than that. But, guaranteed. They put down at least $100,000, Mr. Fox has, for any UFO actual proof, craft or being as it is, or non-being, or reptilian, or cat person, or any other non-human space alien. So, look to the skies. Might even have a better chance to win versus all that money you've been spending on the lottery. Which, I've never won any money in the lottery. I've tried. Dollar here, $2 there. I think the most I've won is $4. Probably spent at least $100. Okay, Mr. Blue Shift. We just talked, and you were supposed to be calling back in 2 minutes, and he's not there. Let's go look at the old Drudge Report. See what's going on with Hot Topics there. Check my Facebook page, see if you guys got any questions for tonight. Yeah, I'm kind of rambling right now. Let's see. You can tell this is live radio because we have no live co-hosts, and it's obvious. But maybe I'm practicing for that new Obamacare filibuster that they're talking about. That's right, folks. Obama! Care to hit Oklahoma and the United States in about 5 days. Calling all filibusters, they say. Calling all filibusters. Obamacare. No, thank you. I'll pass. I've had plenty of Obama-related things, and the last thing I want is him to take care of me, if you know what I mean. Happy birthday to my good friend Greg Moss. Greg Moss turned 50 today. I don't think anybody thought old Greg would make it to 50, but by God, he showed us. Well, guess who's in the old chat? Guess who's on the old air? Oh, Blue Champ woke me up from a near coma to get me up for the show and calls in 10 minutes late. But God love him. Blue Champ, what is on your mind tonight?
Getting this show done. That is what's on my mind. And there we go.
All right. Well, let's get it done. That's all yours.
All right. Quote of the day
yep.
Is, in order to be effective, truth must penetrate like an arrow, and that is likely to hurt. And that's a quote from Wei Wu Wei. I like that quote. It's the truth, at least for people now anyway. But nevertheless, It nowadays people don't just generally accept anything new that's told to them, which is actually good because, you know, there's
Thank
a lot
God.
Of information out.
Thank God. Finally, we might just have a chance just because of the very reason. Yeah. People are waking up. There's an awakening in there. Just like you wake me up from that nap.
Yep.
There's an awakening period. A fresh start. A reboot. What the hell's going on here? I'm tired of drinking the strawberry Kool-Aid. I want grape Kool-Aid. I don't want the red pill. I want the blue pill.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there is, and a lot of people are talking about it. You know, even that Joel Osteen guy. You know, he's an interesting guy. I think that he's teaching you, you know, more of like a salvationist Christianity type teaching.
I think I've heard is good things about him. He was the one that was sitting there and was in prayer the whole time. The guy walked over the Grand Canyon this summer to help for inspiration. That was one of his friends. Which means to me that, you know, he's a little outside the box, but his feet are firmly on the ground. But he's open-minded, has a lot of good things to say. He stays in the book, which is always good, but I've got him on my Facebook page for his daily quotes and his comments, and he's pretty dead on. Seems like a good guy.
Yep. You know, there's a lot of hidden teachings that he does as well, but he goes about it in a very careful way, and he's able to teach people who aren't necessarily, you know, able to handle the whole truth and nothing but it. But he still,
yeah,
he still makes and does a very good job at teaching people flat out, but yet just doesn't call it what people who are aware, you know, call it, you know.
And I'm sure there's a higher being that is helping him in his tactical approach to really help the masses, I firmly believe.
Oh, absolutely. That is something that even I would believe in. And remember, the word lie is in belief.
Yeah.
You know, that's really something, you know, that I want to go into right now is terminology. We're going to cover another thing that I think people should really take a look at before they start blurting out.
Hey, Kyle, don't mean to stop your tracks there for just a second, but now, did we do the follow-up like you wanted to from 2 nights ago? You wanted to read something, remember? Or
I got plenty of stuff. Can we extend this
show? Yeah. I don't know why we couldn't. Yeah, we're fine. Go ahead. I'll shut up.
All right. Sounds good. I guess I'll continue. Well, let's look at terminology. You know, first off, the word belief. The word lie is in belief. If someone tells you to believe what they are saying, remember, they are telling you to accept a potential lie. And although, you know, trying to tell you this, it's like opening up Pandora's box. The things that I would like to talk on about this is, you know, ask some questions, you know, before you just believe anything that anyone tells you for any reason. Doesn't matter how old, you know, the justification is. Really stop and think. Why should you believe somebody because they told you or that you read it somewhere? You know, check your facts. You know, we have all this crazy-ass, you know, scientific technology nowadays and machines that we can use to assess. We can even take videos and put them on the Internet. And now instead of one person stating their opinion as to what happened, you got pictures and video that actually show everyone the same damn thing. And you can have a million people listening or watching the same thing.
Right.
And the truth will come out in people's comments, all right,
mm-hmm.
how they perceive the reality that they are experiencing. And if they are all experiencing something different, you know, I think the consensus is the truth, not necessarily what someone says based on, what we know about this is scientifically or in, you know, the ancient text is this. But you know what? A video or pictures say something completely different. They say the truth as it is, not history, our story. Going from believing to knowing. And, you know, this is a, you know, this is a one way of calling something wisdom. And so we're going to look at, I guess you say the Scientologists. Scientologists are all about, you know, fact-checking and, you know, and I guess you say interacting with your reality. I like Scientologists, you know, quite a bit. I guess you could say I am sort of a Scientologist. One of the things that I learned when I looked into Scientology was, you know, they're always about really checking down on things, you know, getting the definitions that people, you know, can reference now. You know, when they hear a word that they don't know, that they actually go to a dictionary, look it up, and then they get back with you on what you were talking about, you know. And it's an interesting way to go about doing things. You're definitely going to be dealing with someone who's, you know, a hell of a lot smarter than you if they've been doing Scientology for a while.
When somebody says, hey, I'm a Scientologist, what are they telling you?
In my personal opinion, they're smarter than you. So don't think you're going to one-up them or screw them over in a business deal, because it's not going to happen. They're smarter than you, plain and simple. The thing is that Scientologists, they ask each other for help, and they actually help each other. It's not like your typical religion where, you ask somebody for help and they say go pray about it or go meditate on it or go, go see what you can do about it. No, somebody actually be there, next to the person helping them with whatever it was, you know. And the thing about Scientologists is they're not limited to one race, creed, color, or religion. So you never know when you're dealing with a Scientologist unless they tell you.
Yeah.
Unless
you said the Scientology church also, right?
Yeah, and you know they're all over the place. So you know, I mean, if you're a Scientologist, you can go to pretty much any one of them, and you know you can get help from another Scientologist, somebody who goes about things in generally the same way. Everyone's different, but and they got great information. You know, they got a how-to for just about everything.
Do we believe in God and believe in Jesus?
Scientology is not a, you know, is not a like a sect, you know, religion. They take people from all religions. They got Buddhists, Christians, Jewish people. They have Satanists. They have Hindus. They have all kinds of people. They even have some atheists, you know, and they all get along just fine. And that's something to keep in mind. If a Scientologist can all get along and have, you know, Islamic people working with Jewish people and, you know, and Christian people working with Satanists, then apparently they're doing something right and you're doing something wrong. If you challenge what I say in any way, shape, or form, then that's fact. So
they respect each other's opinions, and then they try to help out each other.
Right. You know, they don't get into these proxy discussions over who's right and who's wrong and who's God and who's not. You know, as I've said,
who made that disgusting potato salad for the church social? I want to know. That was horrible. No.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Who did make that potato salad?
They do fight over stuff like that. Don't think they don't. They do.
Yeah, Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous, you know. And whoever put the sand in the potato salad is, you know, yeah. Well, we're just not gonna talk to them anymore because, you know.
Right. They're not Christians. They don't know how to make potato salad.
Yeah, they put sand in it too. So that tells you how everything you need to know about that those guys, you know. No, so you know, but anyway, if you catch my if you catch my drift, the point is don't be a bigot, you know.
Right.
You know, shut your mouth because there's plenty there's plenty of misery to experience in everyday society. You know, don't contribute your own personal crap. It already smells bad enough. You know,
how can one Bible, one book, cause and create so many different churches and beliefs? One book. How many pages is the Bible? With the ones, you know, the edited Bible, of course. Of course, it's missing some books, but I mean. What
I don't know.
Book?
I've seen Bibles everywhere from 300 pages to 2,000 pages, and
right.
Every single one of them seems to have different information or different wordings of things, and then they all create. Therefore, they create different religions. They're all different interpretations of something that no longer exists in a pure form in any way, shape, or form. And that is why, in my opinion, that you have so many different groups. You know, denominations and stuff, and people are always fighting and killing each other over the same kind of religion.
And it's pretty simple.
You know,
it's pretty simple. There's 10 commandments. Try to live by those, please. Do you believe in God? Yeah. You believe in Jesus? Yeah, cool. All right. Be nice to your neighbor. Right on.
Yeah.
Don't kill him. Cool. Don't sleep with his wife. Okay. I can do that one. It's tough at times, but I can do that one. I mean, but come on. Really. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, I mean, the Ten Commandments, come on. If you disagree with one of those, you know, you're somebody's problem. I guarantee it. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
You know,
right.
Whether I agree 100% with exactly the way that everyone interprets them, no, I don't agree with anyone who has to mention them to me, you know, because, you know, obviously you got problems with following them,
right.
You know, because
right.
If you have
let's
to mention them
that
to me.
Again, let's go over those again and see if I'm cool. Where were they again? Oh, shit. I broke one. I broke two. Man, I ain't right, am I?
Yeah, well, nobody's perfect, except maybe the person telling you them, right? Well, whatever.
Right.
Anyway, I found another quote that's actually pretty good. Religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell. Spirituality is for those who have already been there. And that's
fear buys into your, and that whole fear thing buys into your macros, actually. And by the way, I've heard a lot of chatter about the macros after visiting with you the last week. It's been mentioned several ways, in different ways, but I've heard some chatter about the very macros you've been speaking of, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, at the beginning of this show, in order to be effective, truth must penetrate like an arrow, and that is likely to hurt. Way. This other quote was by Vine Deloria from the Sioux Nation, the Native American. And you know what?
Yeah.
I want to say something because as half Northern Arapaho, one of the Sky people, I want to say something to everyone who has this crazy ass idea how they got it. I have an idea, you know. But it's been basically a life's worth of experiences as to why. But it's that people, for some reason, they always want to go to a Native American healer or they want to go to a Native American to get wisdom and stuff. And they pick this tribe because they're advertised, you know, or there's people talking about what they're saying, you know. And, It's like...
Like, man,
the, like,
I want to drop some peyote, man. I want to hang out in the desert. I want to see Jim Morrison, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, what are you guys thinking? Like, I mean, that's craziness. You know, stop it. Stop it now. And here's another thing. Think about this, okay? Next time you consider going to talk to a Native American to get the, you know, the wisdom of the universe, okay, consider this. Why are you going there as opposed to anywhere else that you could, you know? And there's an unlimited amount of other places you could go for the answers or the experiences that you think you're going to one specific group of people for. And, you know, there are 500 different kinds of Native Americans, you know? And you have to understand that, look at what was done to the Native Americans, okay? And then you now think that you can go to any race other than, you know, one of the 500 nations thinks you can go to one of them and get the secrets of the universe and wisdom and healing. Do you think you can honestly go there after what was done to them as a race? And here's another good question that y'all should think about. Here's another one. Where did Native Americans come from? They didn't come across a fucking land bridge. What the fuck are you smoking?
Yeah.
You know,
my
tribe is called the Sky People for a reason. You know, the Sioux and then our neighbors, the Shoshone, and some of the Blackfoot, and there are a few other tribes, clearly state in our legends some really profound stuff. You need to actually, before you actually go out and you actually start reading your believing your own, you know, ideas of solutions to your whatever it is that you're dealing with, you know, you need to actually read that tribe's legends, because unlike the rest of the world, which is all commercialized, these tribes, their origins are clearly defined in the legends. Read them all before you go and approach one of these tribes and know what you are potentially dealing with. Because you are not dealing with what you think you are dealing with.
Now, let me ask you this. Hey, Blue Shift, I can look it up, but you may already know. Have they found Native American, bones or DNA or proof of Native Americans living currently right now outside of Northern America?
Oh yeah, you know, they're all over the place. You can find like some of the same Native American DNA. Let's track one particular race. We'll do the Creek. The Creek have had contact with the Mayak in ancient past. The Mayak being the Maya, you know, the Mayan apocalypse, that thing.
Uh-huh.
The real way to say that group is the Mayak, M-A-Y-A-C-H. Mayak is the race, not Mayan. All right. That was meant to throw you off, even slightly. Everyone accepted what they were told, that race of people was called that, and that's not what they're called. They're called the Mayak, and with a C-H. Okay, so you know. Disinformation, you know, they don't really care because they're more interested in the people. They're only interested in talking to the people who know who they really are or what they really
are. And by the way, let me say this real quick. What did you think about Dr. Steve last night? And, of course, bringing up the Mayan thing. They may be off a few months, but what do you think about him saying, guess what's behind Comet Einstein? It's headed this way.
You know, I think that everyone's just going to have to sit back and think about what happened right before 2012. And then this guy actually goes back to some of the Native Americans. Look at the Hopi, the Blue Star Kachina, the Red Star Kachina. You know, and then right after, you know, 2012, you know, everyone kept on saying, oh, that our Blue Star Kachina has already passed. The Red Star Kachina has already passed. Wrong. You know, disinformation wins again. Sorry. Thanks for playing. Try again. You are wrong. and you accepted incorrect information. I gave you the best information that I could with what I knew and understood. And you know, right after 2012, nothing happened with 2012. You know, wrong. People's reactions to potential, you know, warnings were studied.
Right.
That's what happened. Same thing with Y2K. Same thing with 9/11. You have been studied. Three times in a row. You are figured out. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, your reaction was studied to potential, you know, earth-shattering change. And that is something that everyone that listens to this broadcast needs to you know, look at themselves and study themselves now. Why did I react to this? What did I hear that made me react or not do anything? Did I disregard what was going to happen? You know, or did I catch on that nothing was going to happen? But did you catch on with what didn't happen and what was referenced but is going to happen? Things like
right.
this. You know, really analyze, you know.
It was more of a preparation. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's that too. That's one perspective. But, you know, everyone should be able to come to this conclusion on their own. If they can't, you know, I feel bad for you, but, you know, that's you. And I tried to help you.
Not going to change.
You know?
You can't help them. Well, some people, no matter what information, even if it's sitting right there in front of them, they didn't see it, they don't know what you're talking about.
Yep. You know, unfortunately, about 15% of the population is only only about 15% is guaranteed to actually just kind of know, you know, right off the back, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had some other stuff that I wanted to read off to people that I thought was good, and I'm going to mention a potential guest.
Great.
A potential guest in the future. These next two short readings that I'm going to do are just little parts of books that I came across. I haven't actually read through all of these. These are just, you know, kind of what I opened the page to, and this is what showed up when I thumbed it. These are both books that I got from the School of Metaphysics, there's a School of Metaphysics headquarters in Windyville, Missouri, or the International School of Metaphysics, or College of Metaphysics, if you will. And you can look them up online, these both come from the SOM Publishing. The first one is The Four Stages of Growth by Daniel R. Condren. I believe he's one of the current board members of the College of Metaphysics, but I'm not sure as of right now what the status is. The second one is From Motivation, From Existence to Fulfillment by Pamela Blosser. Also a former attendee of the College of Metaphysics. Don't know too much about her, but you know, I got her book called Motivation. First from the Four Stages of Growth, I want to read the first short paragraph, and maybe if you want a little bit more, I'll read it, maybe the first page. Just let me know. If not, then I'm just going to move forward to the next one. But this is just meant to be kind of like a commentary to really have people assess, you know, kind of what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and, you know, get an idea of what's coming and what Center of the Universe has to offer. Introduction. Why change is good? as it is phrased in a question. Most people resist change. In doing so, they resist the natural order of the universe. For the nature of the universe is change. You can either cause change in yourself, thereby transforming self into brilliant, self-realized, or self-realized being, or you can remain mired in mediocrity. And, you know, that's basically, you know, let's look at the whole, Y2K, 9/11, 2012. 9/11, we'll start with Y2K. Everyone said the computers are going to all fail, no electronics are going to work, and everything's going to fall apart.
Right.
What did people do? Nothing. People did nothing,
we played Monopoly all night.
There were a couple of survivalists that went crazy and disappeared forever into the woods of our national parks. But other than that, nothing happened.
Right.
At least as far as I can tell. You know, that was years ago. So,
right.
And I was much younger then.
Yeah.
And then you had 9/11. And basically what happened was you had a couple people realized something was going to happen with the way things were going down in the world. And they did some things and started some groups and stuff like that. And, you know, they dabble in, you know, homesteading and all that. But for the most part, the rest of the world just said, well, send in the military. And you send in the military and the military-industrial complex, and they did what they did. And you guys just, you know, and the world just basically went about doing what it was doing. Not even noticing that this was going on, occasionally complaining that the news was constantly reporting on this, but that's about it. And then 2012, you all were warned various different things could potentially happen. Now, of course, if they give you such a short warning, how the hell are you actually going to survive any of the things they mentioned was going to happen in 2012? And they did mention specific things. They mentioned, they mentioned everything from economic collapse to Nibiru to a pole shift. You know, I mean, all kinds of things.
Oh yeah.
What did people do? The majority of people were like, well, this is just a phenomenon, just like Y2K, and just like 9/11, which nobody really knows what happened, blah, 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 you know. And then there's, you know, the people that took it very seriously and got themselves a doomsday bunker, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Well, you know what, maybe they're not so crazy after all. You know, but, you know, you didn't do it, so it doesn't really matter, you know, because if something does happen and you don't have an underground bunker to hide in, you know, that's one thing. But then again, what happens if, you know, it's like blast from the past and, you know, your doomsday bunker gets paved over when you're hiding in it? You know, that's potentially not a good thing if you can't open the hatch, you know, because yours ain't that big. But
you're gonna need air.
Just something to think about, you know. I'm just saying. And then another thing is, like, if anything did fall apart, why are you gonna hide in a hole until your supplies run out? You know, I mean, that's nuts. If everything burns to the ground, you know, what system are you gonna plug back into? Anyway, the point is that you have to create your own system. To catch, you know, when we all fall down, you know.
I think it's probably a good idea if you don't have some type of food supply right now, just in case. And that should be for just, doesn't matter. Should have it. Water. You should have some, you should be able at least to live in your house for at least, what?
90
two
days
weeks?
Minimum.
90 days.
Really? 90 days minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, 90 days minimum. And you know what? Actually, you know what's even better? You know, rather than me giving you advice, because what the hell do I know? How about you just go to ready.gov, look at every natural disaster, and then copy down everything that each one of those natural disasters or whatever they have on there on the list now. And you do exactly what it says for each one of those things. Even if it's something that looks like it can't happen to you, like say you live in Arizona and it says potential disaster tsunami, you better do everything it says on there that says prepare for a tsunami. Or like,
you know what people think though? I'm thinking, oh, American Red Cross, they'll come get me. My government will take care of me.
No.
They won't come take care of me.
No, they won't. You have to understand that we're not a nation that that does everything for you. We're not a communist nation, are we? Well, whatever your point of view is irrelevant. Because the point is that our government is set up to respond to problems, not make preparations ahead of time and spend your money on things that haven't happened or could possibly happen. Though they do some of that stuff anyway, but they only do it from a military standpoint. But then again, the military is still a responsive organization. That's what it does. It responds to problems. It doesn't make preparations to go deal with every potential problem in the world.
By the way, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, when's the last time we've had a big comet roll through here in the skies that we can look up every night and see it? Been a while.
I think maybe in the 70s or something like that. I don't know, yeah.
That's going to be a big deal. That's going to be a big deal.
Oh, it is going to be a big deal. Because it's going to make you look at everything that was said around 2012 again, and you're going to be backtracking, trying to figure it all out. And
there's going to
be so much disinformation
that
out there.
People are putting those two together yet. They will. They're going to hear a lot more about it. It's not that far around the corner. We're talking about Thanksgiving. What's today? We're damn near October. Less than 60 days. We're going to be talking about this every night. Everybody is. Look in the sky. What is that? What's behind it? Oh, really?
Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, I wanted to move over to the next reading, Motivation. From Existence to Fulfillment, page 26, The Powers of Reasoning. Being a creator means being a thinker. A thinker is able to reason and make decisions that are productive for his own self-growth, or her, if you're a female. Reasoning is a thinking process that can be learned and improved. Reasoning is used as a response to your inner urge to improve and better yourself. When you are motivated, you employ your reasoning. Reasoning is a valuable means to build confidence in being a creator because it has within it three creative components: attention, memory, and imagination. Attention, something that I found out at the School of Metaphysics, is your most precious commodity. Energy goes or the attention flows or something like that or whatever, you know, insert your personal comment here. But it is your most precious commodity. If you give your attention away to something or someone, they own your ass almost like a slave. So if you're constantly focused on what you're going to buy next, then obviously, some advertising for a corporation owns you, and all your money will go to buying their product, and all your energy will go into making the money to buy their product. And when you have the product, where does your attention go? Think about that. And I just used buying something as an example here. Now, what if you have someone Let's say I like Joel Osteen. I watch his show from time to time, and I like him. I think, you know, he has something that even I'll want to listen to and learn from. But I don't necessarily learn the same thing that you learn. I don't take things exactly verbatim like he's saying. I look and see what he's really trying to say. You know, I give my attention to this guy. Therefore, for at least the time that I give him my attention, for example, like right now, he owns me because he's talking. But he's not selling a product. And maybe that's a more complete thought that you guys can, you know, try to figure out, you know, how you can use this what I just told you to look at other things.
Yeah.
Before we go, I have one more reading. So just give me a heads up if we're close to running out of time.
You got about 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
You got about 2 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm going to give you one more reading and a recommended place to, you know, to go to. Let me finish up on the School of Metaphysics. School of Metaphysics.
Yeah.
I'm looking at seeing if a representative from the School of Metaphysics will actually come and speak on the radio show here at Center of the Universe.
Right.
And you know, see what, you know, so you guys can see what they have to offer. This is one of the places that I've been, and you are able to attend this, you know, this school. They have really good, you know, they have a really good library that is effective at making you effective. And hopefully I'll get a guest from them. Anyway, the last thing I want to read from is from www.mindreality.com. This particular booklet is called The Secret of Everything, The Key to the Universe, from Enoch Tan, the creator of Mind Reality website. And it's a subscription website that if you're into mind and mastering yourself so you can master everything, then anyway, check it out. First page, The Secret of Everything. The secret of everything. Everything is mental. All talent, skill, power, speed, and ability is mental. Nothing is impossible. Anything is possible. There is nothing you cannot be, do, or have. You can be, do, and have anything you want, as long as you have the mind for it. The inner world creates the outer world. Your beliefs, intentions, and emotions create your reality. Magic is causing change to occur in accordance with will. Wherever your mind focuses, your energy goes. Everything is mind. Mind is everything. The universe is mind. Mind controls everything. Mind is reality. Reality is mind. The master of mind is master of everything. So, keep
wonderful.
That in mind.
With that, we have to come to a close. What a great way to end the show. For questions and comments, input, information, we'll have some questions around in the air, all that good stuff, go to Center of the Universe 2013 at Outlook.com. Everyone, have a great hump day. Get some sleep. Good evening. Thanks for listening. Good night.